Good evening. Welcome to Two-Way Talk here on Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And I'm Kara Williams.
We are talking with Cindy Freeland. She has written several children's books that help children learn about the creatures and how they help the economy of Maryland. In Virginia, in Washington, D.C., in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and West Virginia, and New York. Freeland's books include 20-minute fun educational stories about a crab, a jellyfish, an oyster, an osprey, and a honeybee for children from 6 to 10 years old. Each book includes facts about the creatures, the Chesapeake Bay, and the Chesapeake Bridge. And she has an incredible book out about a mermaid. I think the mermaid's name is Macy, and it does everything to talk about the watermen of the Chesapeake Bay. Cindy Freeland, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Thank you so much.
We have been so excited to talk to you. All of your books tell, first of all, they're great books, and they are very, very inspiring stories, but they really are educational. And really educate children on the environment, on the water creatures, on Maryland. And really, you have done an extraordinary job carving this niche out for your readers.
Thank you so much. I do a lot of research to be sure everything is correct.
Uh-huh. So tell me about Macy the Mermaid.
That story is really about the watermen of Maryland and how hard they work. They get up so early and they have long, hot days on the boat. And they have to be sure that they have all the right equipment and they have to be sure that it's properly used and cleaned to be sure that it's available for everyone to use.
Now, I made the mistake. I was over at a friend's house recently and I saw the book, and I saw this beautiful mermaid on the cover, and she said, put it down, don't start reading it. Well, I just couldn't wait to start reading it, and her daughter would not let me stop reading it over and over and over again. It was such a great story about the hardworking watermen, and you really just weaved in all these facts and stories about these watermen in a very fantastical way with this mermaid.
You.
Yes, it was wonderful. Where did the idea come from?
I think that the water, the sparkling from the sunshine is magical to me.
Nice.
So I always wonder what's under the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I always imagine myself as a mermaid.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
this is
nice.
Really the only fantasy that I've written for children. The others are more realistic.
Realistic. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the other books as well.
Okay, there are 10 in the Chesapeake Bay Adventure Series.
Wow.
The first one I started in 2013 with Jordan the Jellyfish. And they're about animals of the Chesapeake Bay who live in the water, around the water, and in the watershed, and above the water, such as the osprey.
Mm-hmm. And what has been the public's response to your series?
They love it. They love knowing that their children are going to learn about this area. And I think it is a requirement for schools to teach about environmental education having to do with the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So just to be clear, you don't have a background in marine biology or anything. You just basically do research to find out all this stuff.
No, but now that you mentioned that, I really always wanted to learn more about underwater creatures.
Oh, nice.
So where can we purchase your books?
Okay, they're on Amazon, and they're also on my website at cbaykidsbooks.com.
Give that address one more time. I want people to be able to get this series.
Okay, it's the letter C for Chesapeake, so it's cbaykidsbooks.com. And they're also available in many museums and bookstores and gift shops around the area, around the Chesapeake Bay. I'd say at least 60 stores. And wow. I do a lot of school presentations, and mm-hmm. I also do events like craft shows.
Mm-hmm. And when you do events, especially when you talk to kids, what's your goal? What are you seeking to educate them, or are you seeking to entertain them?
A little of both, but mm-hmm. I think mostly the education. But they really like to, when I ask questions about in the school presentations, I ask them what is in the water and what lives in the bay, and they love raising their hands and telling me what is there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if any of the schools are currently using your books as part of their curriculum?
I'm not exactly sure. I do know that when I was working at a Montessori school here in Bowie, that they had some books here that of my book. So I'm not sure if they use them in their curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have been reading a lot about you since I got a chance to read your book, and I understand congratulations are in order.
Yes, we have something very exciting coming up.
And you're getting married in the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks.
Yes, on the 18th of September.
All
yep,
right.
On a fishing boat.
On a fishing boat, of all places.
Yes.
That's nice. That is wonderful. So now, if we wanted to, or if children wanted to, can these books be used as a resource, as a teaching tool? Or do you not want...
They probably could, because, like I said, I do a lot of research to be sure all the facts are
mm-hmm.
correct. And they aren't short readings, you know, bedtime stories. They're, like, longer. They average about 40 pages.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, I consider myself to be a little bit of a children's book author as well. I put out a book, and the second one will be out by Christmas for children. And tell us about the research that you do for your books.
Okay, it has to do with the creatures themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to decide which creatures, because there are so many. So the ones that are interesting to me are the ones that I've written about. And some of them are not real nice. They don't have a good rap. The jellyfish, but mine are always nice,
of course.
They never get eaten. The crabs never get eaten. They do go to parties, but they never get eaten.
Which is not about the reality, because I know people I know can't get enough of eating those poor little crabs.
Mm-hmm. I know. I love them myself.
But no need to put our children through that.
So what led you to children's books?
Well, it's just about mostly I put a lot of kindness and helpfulness in them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if there's a situation, let's say, for example, the jellyfish was lost, and then she ended up stinging a friend, and it actually ended up being my youngest daughter, because that was a true story, when my youngest daughter was about 6 years old. So that was one of the inspirations that I had to actually write that story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a situation that maybe a young child could relate to, and then they get help from some friends, and then they find their way back to, in that story, back to their home. But they do encounter some issues that they have to resolve, and the help of the friends, you know, that helps that situation.
Mm.
So that's why a lot of the stories are for children, because they have to rely on helping, you know, and they help themselves too.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So you actually have another book. It's not necessarily about sea creatures. It's about pigs or mud pies, I would say. That looks to be very interesting.
Yeah, that one is 26 ways how to use mud. I just was driving one day and I figured, you know, what do kids like? So I figured they liked mud. So I just looked up all these different ways to use mud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the bay.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So I'm wondering if you could tell us, are you planning to do any adult books, or have you found the genre in children's books?
I really love writing for children.
Nice.
I did write a few books having to do with my own industry, which is I started a virtual assistant business in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one is about starting that business. So that's about 250 pages.
And what does it tell us about? I read about your business. What does that book tell us about your business, or how to start a business? Is that what it is?
Right. And then how to find customers, and that some of the issues that I ran into, like as far as credit cards and accepting credit cards and things like that, just starting the business and keeping up with customers, because they're gonna forget you if you don't keep up with them.
Wow.
Yeah. So writing children's
and it pretty
books
much goes with along with any business that you own, you know, or any business that you're trying to find customers for. You just really need to just keep in their face pretty often.
Mm-hmm. So what did your family and friends think about your writing these children's books?
Well, I really haven't gotten much feedback from my family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really haven't gotten much feedback. But friends like them.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give the folks one more chance to... The books are found on Amazon, and they can go to your website. Give your website one more time. Kara and I really endorse this series. We hope that our listeners go out and just buy up all these books. These books really are the kind of temperament that children, little children, can really learn from and enjoy the reading experience. So we fully endorse the work that you do, Cindy Freeland.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. The website is the letter C, C for Chesapeake. So it's C Bay, B-A-Y, kidsbooks.com, cbaykidsbooks.com.
So folks, go to that website, check out the books. They make wonderful Christmas gifts, but your children will love them. They will really, really enjoy. Cindy Freeland, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for thinking of me.
Oh, we appreciate it. Can't wait to read more.
Yeah, I'm going to get some of those books for my grandson.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cindy Freeland, she's written 10 books.
10 children's books.
And knocked them out of the park.
Yeah, you said you're getting ready to write another one.
I've started it. It's going to be a wonderful book. It's going to be about the Baltimore Raven becomes king. There is a great vacancy around the world. The bird king has decided to step down.
Okay.
And so everyone from the flamingo, the peacock, all these beautiful, colorful birds are in line to become king.
Okay.
And I say, well, wait a minute. What about that Baltimore Raven? I'm not going to give you the outcome.
I thought you were.
But it really tells young people that really anyone can do extraordinary great things.
Right, right.
And, yeah, if you have a dream, go for it.
And that's kind of what I like about her books I was reading. Like the previews of them is that it's always an outcome that's good.
Yep.
Positive. I'll say positive, not good. Like the jellyfish thing and Curtis the Crab.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is. It's very nice.
That's nice.
So,
now, the other day, I wanted to tell you that a young lady stopped me in the grocery store and said that she went to the vegan restaurant that we featured on our show.
Hugh.
Mm-hmm. And she is now in love.
Yeah.
And she goes there almost every day to get lunch. It really is a wonderful, wonderful restaurant.
It is. No, it is. It really is. Even just walking in the door, the atmosphere is
great. Oh, that's nice.
And the smell.
Like all the herbs and spices.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, yes. And
that's
just
nice.
It is very nice. And I'm going to buy, I told you I was going to go buy the herb that helps sinuses. They got herbs for everything and a whole big old wall.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it is. And they got teas. They got everything. And we tasted was good.
Mm-hmm.
Those pancake corn jalapeno cakes.
Jalapeno cakes.
They were good. Yes, they were.
I am telling you, I said, oh, I'm going to eat this, just this one for now and save the rest of them.
Yeah.
By the time I came to consciousness, they were all gone.
I did the same thing.
I ate them all.
Yes, I was picking off it like this, and I was like, oh, I'll close it. Then I came back, I opened it back, I ate some more. Yeah, they were good. It was good. And it's always crowded.
Always. Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it is.
So, folks, if you just like someone recommended that restaurant to Kara, and we called the chef and got her in. If you know of restaurants we should feature, if you know of any story that you think would be a wonderful feature for Two-Way Talk, just reach right out to us. Go to the WEAA website and reach out to us, and maybe you'll be listening to them right here on this show. This Two-Way Talk is about two-way conversations. It's about Kara and I having conversations with other folks. But guess what the important component is you. When you call in and you join the conversation, it makes this show what it is. And we really appreciate it.
Well, you came up with a stunner about marriage. I can't wait to talk to you
about
that.
Oh, I can't wait for us to talk about that. Yeah. I was on Richard Scher's Square Off.
Mm-hmm.
Go to squareoff.net and you can see it. I was on with the conservative radio talk show host Jimmy Mathis from WBAL, and we were talking about all the violence in the city of Baltimore. And there is a guest named I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he is always beating up black women.
Oh.
And that's one of the reasons I don't support him. But he does make some extraordinary points.
The YouTube guy?
Richard Vatz is his name.
Oh.
He's a professor at Towson University on rhetoric.
Mm.
And he has some rhetoric that he uses. But he talks about the missing fathers in families.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it in such an accusatory and blame way that I will never support it when he talks about it.
Yeah.
But when Jimmy Mathis and I talked about it, we talked about it's very important for us to find a way to rebuild the family.
Mm-hmm.
The family has fallen apart.
Yes.
And the black community especially, but in the white community as well.
Oh, yeah.
The fathers are missing. We've got to, and I'm not saying that fathers are walking away from their children. I'm not saying that they are just dropping babies everywhere and just not being engaged in the lives of their children. But too many fathers have abdicated their responsibilities in families.
Yeah, I agree.
And we've got to find a way to bring families back together.
Mm-hmm.
And that nothing's perfect. No marriage is going to be easy every single day, but you've got to work for it. And guess what? It's worth working for.
Yeah, and I was reading a lot of propaganda also on how by the government starting Section 8 helped drive the father out of the home.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, something else had to be a wedge there,
it had
too.
To be.
You know, it wasn't just the fact that she got on food stamps that the father had to leave, or she got on Section 8.
That's
now,
right.
There was a rule that, you know,
you couldn't have the man
in the house. So if that was the case and you really wanted to be with that person, you would find a way to, you know, make your income or whatever so he could be back in the house.
And on television, in the popular songs in our culture, we don't celebrate the family. Matter of fact, we celebrate everything except the family unit. It's all about dropping while it's hot, and it's all about sex.
Right.
And it's not about love, and it's not about families.
Yeah.
And we've got to find a way for popular culture to celebrate families.
Yeah, and you know what? And just for you saying that, popular culture, the rap music that I used to listen to is 300% different than the rap music of today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't pick up any negative things from the rap music that I used to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to the music today and looking at these children, they know rap songs before they know their ABCs.
Before they know their ABCs.
You know, you can't even read a book, but you know every word to a rap song.
Isn't that something?
And some of the things that I hate to say this, but some of the things that the little girls are doing, baby girls are doing, if they had a man's there, I don't think that he would allow his baby girl to do that.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I'm not putting fault on the mother, but sometimes black mothers think that crap is cute, and it's not.
And it's not.
It's really not cute.
And I was at a cookout, this was several years ago, and they put music on, of course, and this little girl was there twerking and dropping down, and everybody was like, oh, how cute. Oh, look at her. And I was the only person that said, ask her who the governor of the state is.
I know that's right. Ask her what the first letter of the alphabet is.
Ask her what the last letter of the alphabet right. is. I mean, I just was amazed.
Yeah.
And maybe I took it too seriously. And that's what one of my friends, she goes, you take things too seriously.
No.
But that little girl twerking like that, it made my stomach nauseous.
That is very serious. Mm-hmm. That is very serious. It's just as serious as little boys going around talking about pop, pop, pop.
Or grabbing their ding-a-ling.
Or grabbing their crotch. Right.
I don't get
it. So it's just as serious. It's not just the little girls. It's the little boys. It's what they see.
Yes.
And what they're around. And that's up to the parent
and
to keep them away from that.
And we can do much better.
Yes,
we
yes.
We can do. And people say, you know, well, I'm my child's role model. Well, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to seek out the Sojourner Truth and the Frederick Douglass and these other people and make them your child's role model.
Or even just the neighborhood old lady that you see outside sweeping. You know she didn't tolerate that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling
because
you.
Because they usually from the generation of it takes a village to raise a child.
Woo.
But now you can't even say nothing to a person.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No,
so,
people don't want you to say boo to their children.
Right. Right.
And if you do, they're ready to fight.
Right. Yeah.
And I have heard so many stories about parents going down to schools when their children have misbehaved and the parents getting into fights
right.
with
right.
the principal, with the teachers
mm-hmm.
over their children.
Right.
Now, what kind of message are we sending to our children?
Yeah. Mm. So, yep, we do have to get that family
we
back
gotta,
together.
We got
and
to
even,
celebrate
and,
the family.
And even if it's a single
Of course,
parent,
of
family.
Course. That's right.
The family still has to be together and do what's right for the children that they're taking care of, or even the elderly person that they're taking care of, because a lot of our elders are getting abused by people in the home.
It's horrible.
Yeah, so, yes.
And I'm so glad you said that. I do want us to celebrate marriage. I want us to celebrate marriage. I want us getting married. I
mm-hmm.
want us, the family, to stay together. But a family comes in different forms,
yeah.
all kinds of different forms. And if you're co-parenting
right.
a child, that is wonderful because you're involved in that child's life.
Right.
That child sees you, that child hears you, that child emulates you. So that's very important.
It is.
It's
very important. Co-parenting is better than no parenting.
No parenting.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and if you can do that and be amenable against, to each other, then very well.
Mm-hmm.
Do that, you know.
And do that.
Because the children really do need to see both of the parents.
They
you
do.
Know? And they don't need for the one mother. And my mother used to tell me this all the time, and I took this advice. Do not bad talk the other parent to the
even
child.
Even if you want to.
Even if
they are doing
to.
Something wrong, you talk about that to the parent.
Right.
You don't run them down in front of their
that's,
child.
That's exactly
and
right.
And my mother was very good. There were times when she was so mad at my father, but she would never
right.
tear down my father.
Yeah, you shouldn't do
us.
That. You shouldn't do that because mm-hmm. the child loves both parents.
Both parents.
You know, and that's that with these horrors that we've seen with the children being killed. Them children loved their mother.
They loved her.
Yeah.
In both of those instances,
yes,
those
yes.
children
mm-hmm.
adored their
yeah,
mothers.
Yeah.
And
so it wasn't much that the grandmother could say
mm-mm.
to the children, you know, don't you want to live with grandma? No, I want to go, you know,
yep.
that's because that's their parent. That's
mm-hmm.
their mother. So, yep.
And so that's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
That is a reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of children that are abused and social service come in the house and want to take the children and they are just a mess, kicking, screaming, crying, and
wow.
don't want to leave the parent, even though we know that the parent is
abusing.
Right? Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah, I'm telling you that your children that love you, they really love you.
They really
yeah.
love you.
Yeah. So it's only right that we do right by them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that we can do.
My mother was my first girlfriend. I loved her more than any woman or man that I'm going to love.
Right.
My mother was my world.
Yeah.
And our father, of course, you've heard me tell this story, abandoned us very early, didn't have anything to do with us. And I didn't see my father for almost 10 years.
Mm.
He was just partying and I would see him out in public.
Yeah.
And I just did not care. It was like me looking at a stranger.
Wow.
And then as I got older, I needed my father in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I when they called me and told me that he had died, my biggest heartache was I did not know him
right.
well as an adult. I wish I had gotten to know him better.
Yeah.
And then I went to the funeral, spoke at the funeral, and I was broken up.
Mm.
But I spoke at my dad's funeral, and I said, I sometimes wonder, did he love me?
Mm-hmm.
And The nurses who took care of my father came up to me afterwards, and they're like, your father talked about you every single day. Do you know my son worked in the White House? Do you know my son runs a newspaper? Do you know my, they said they knew everything about me because my father was so proud of me.
It's a,
you know, you try to pretend like, oh, a child can do without a parent.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, all I wanted was the love, not approval, but the love of my father.
Yeah. And he probably didn't, he probably had to tell you, that he to tell the nurses, he ain't know how to tell you.
That's right.
He really he didn't know how to tell you after all that time.
He just didn't know how to do it.
If he had had a relationship with you up until those years, then he probably would have been able to tell you. But, you know, how do you just come out of the blue and tell somebody you're proud of them without explaining everything else?
You know, because you got to explain everything else.
That's
you got to explain everything else.
That is correct.
And my brother and I were so different. I was a mama's boy, am a mama's boy, even to this day. My brother worshiped the ground my father walked on, even when we didn't see him for 10 years.
Yeah.
And when my brother saw him, it was like him seeing a rock star. He was so excited to see my dad. My grandmother said, Anthony, go out there and say hi to your father. And I sat there like I did not hear it. I think I was reading the newspaper. I was such a precocious kind of child. But I was like, oh, no, I'll be fine. Yep, I'll be fine. But then as I got older, I realized how much I loved him. Mistakes and all, I loved him.
So that goes to show, two different brothers.
Yep.
One worshiped the ground he walked on, even though he wasn't there. So that just proves my point that
you were
talking
about.
Your children are going to love you no matter what you do to them. Don't take advantage of it.
Don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And try, you know what? Try to reconcile it. Be a big man. Be a big woman. And ask your children for forgiveness.
Yes.
And I know that's hard. But honestly, you will be better off for it. And those children will be better off for it.
Yep. Yep. And they will respect you for it.
Yeah.
Even if they don't understand
Even if they don't get it.
Yeah.
They will
respect
you
for it.
Yep. And trust me, you don't got to go very far for them to fall head over heels in love with you again.
That's true.
It's true.
That is true. That is true.
So, folks, we're going to talk about marriage soon. Kara and I want to hear from you, so we'll and hopefully we'll get these phones right.
Yeah, yeah.
Get these phones right so you can call in and be part of this program. But we're going to talk about marriage, and we want you to share your stories with us about marriage, about your children, about family. And so we're going to talk about that.
Yep, I've never been married. Did I tell you that?
No.
I've never been married.
Oh, you know what? I made assumptions.
Really?
I did, because I saw these beautiful grandchildren. I've seen your beautiful daughter, and I know that you have wonderful twins. I think I was like, well, I'm sure she was married.
No, I've never been married, but my story is inside of that missing parent.
Wow.
See, but now my twins are 28 years old.
Mm.
One of them is so just like a I don't know, a beach bum, I would say. And the other one's like, I don't care if I ever see him.
Wow.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad because he lives in California. We'll never know what he's doing if he's still here, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's unfortunate.
Yep, we have a lot to talk about
I know,
on this show.
Do.
I love talking to you about these issues.
Yes, and we're going to talk about
that marriage thing.
Yeah, this has got a lot to do with a lot of things. Why people ain't wanting to get married.
That's right.
So Two Way Talk is a production of WEAA Radio 88.9 FM here on the campus of Morgan State University, produced by Justina Pollard and engineered by Andre Melton. Stay tuned for the Morgan News Hour with Randy Reed and Demi Goff. Please join Two Way Talk tomorrow for another great conversation. Good night.